2 Thessalonians and chapter number 2. Chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Let's stand, if you can, for just a moment as we read the Word of God together. If it's a fairly short passage, I'll have you to stand. And we do that out of the reverence of the Word of God. But I want you to see something. The Apostle Paul has written this second letter to the church of Thessalonica. There was someone that had written another letter and signed it as Paul's writing, and it was a false letter. And they had sent this second letter, this lost letter, so to speak, that is not Paul's writing, but they'd sent it to the church, and they had said, "You missed the rapture." Paul wrote this letter in defense of that and said, "No, the rapture has not taken place yet. It is coming, and here are some things to look for." 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." Beloved, I believe we are there. I believe we are seeing that today, a falling away from the dictates of this book. And it says, "And the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." He's talking about Antichrist. Antichrist has not been revealed yet. We can speculate who he might be, but he has not been revealed and will not be until after the rapture of the church. Go down to verse number 9. And he said in verse number 9, "Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they all might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." Keep your finger there in your Bible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we need the touch of God. Lord God, we pray for the power of the Holy One, the unction of God today. Touch these lips of clay. May everything that would proceed out of this mouth be pleasing unto thee. I pray, God, there'd be nothing that would be said of vainglory, nothing in the flesh, but Father, that you'd guide these lips, that you'd help us this morning. We need a touch from God. We need revival in our church. We need revival in Randolph County. We need revival, my friend, in all parts of the world. And Father, I pray that you'd bless us now today. In Jesus' precious name, and for his sake we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. I'll say this as I was praying, and the thought came to my mind, and I'll share that with you. Isn't it amazing that here in Randolph County, this is not my home county. My home county is Rockingham County. But here, I've been here for 12 years now in this county, so I figure that it's a part of me. But isn't it amazing that here in Randolph County, the first great movement of God that took place only about 4 or 5 miles down the road from us. Isn't it amazing that in Randolph County, back in the days of Shubal Stearns, a handful of people met at Sandy Creek, formed a little church. From that church, over 600 people turned out. I don't know where they would have put them at. I don't know how they would have housed them. But they tell me that over 600 people turned out. And there the gospel was preached. When the persecution came and folks began to spread, the church, the Baptist church, by the way, let me rephrase that, the Baptist church, they began to spread as far as the Potomac River, all the way up to Washington, D.C., all the way west to the Mississippi, all the way down to Florida. And every Baptist church in the southeast had its roots and had its beginnings 4 or 5 miles right down the road from us. Isn't it something that now we're in Randolph County almost 200 years later And here in Randolph County, we've got the attacks of Satan coming in upon us. My friend, if there's ever been folks here that need to stand, it's the folks of Randolph County. Say amen. I mean, if here was the place that God birthed the preaching and the Baptist church movement of what we know of today, isn't it something that God would say to you and I today as God's people, Bible-believing Christians, honey, it's time for us to stand. It's time for us, our voice to be heard. In the midst of opposition, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of persecution, would to God we'd have a group of folk right here in this place, right here in this county, lift their voices to God in prayer and say, Lord God of heaven, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek thy face, turn from our wicked ways, then you'll hear from heaven, you'll forgive our sins and you'll heal our land. Would to God we'd have some folk this morning that say, preacher, you can count on me. You can count. I may be just a farmer, a mill worker. I might be a carpenter. But preacher, you can count on me to get in touch with heaven. There's a lot at stake today. Amen. And you might say, boy, you fired up. Hallelujah. We need to get some fire once again. We need to get some fire going. We need to stoke that with an old poker once more time. We need to, instead of letting it go out, instead of letting the fires go dim, we need to stoke her up and let the fires of revival burn once again in Randolph County. Amen. Bible said here in 2 Thessalonians, watch it what he said. In the last days, there'll be a spirit of lies. In the last days, men will not want the truth. In the last days, as he says here, look in verse number 9 and following. He said that when Antichrist steps on the scene, we don't know when that'll be. We know it'll be right after the rapture. Y'all said a while ago, you believe that Jesus could come before the 12 o'clock hour. Y'all still believe that? You got 20 minutes. Amen. If Jesus could come before noon, and I believe he could, he could come before I finish speaking the next sentence. My friend, if you believe that, you must believe this. That right after the rapture of the church, when we as God's people are out of here, Antichrist is going to step on the scene. That, my friend, means this. If we believe that Jesus could come today, we must believe that Antichrist is alive somewhere in this world today. You follow me? If Jesus could come today, and I believe he could, at any moment, Antichrist could step on the scene tomorrow morning. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to be out of here. But now here's something I want you to see. Brother James and I were talking before church this morning, and he made a statement, and I thought, boy, that rang my bell. I told him then, I said, you just said exactly what I'm preaching, the topic of my title this morning, and this is what the title of the message is today, the title of the message today, my friend, is to tell it like it is. Tell it like it is. Some folk today do not want to hear the truth. We have today, living in our country, politicians that don't want to hear the truth. Say amen. We have today in our country government officials. They had rather lie to you. They had rather get up in front of all the millions on national television and tell you a bold-faced lie and stand there and grin about it and brag about it, my friend, than tell you the truth. We've got folks today, preachers today, that'll stand in a pulpit. They'll address 20-some thousand people. They'll put on the Pepsodent smile and they'll lie to your face about going to heaven. We've got folk today across this country that had rather lie than tell the truth. And beloved, can I tell you something? That lying today is very, very prevalent. I asked Brother James this morning, a recent survey that I looked at said this, that how many people would you believe, as they polled the United States in general, how many people would you say on the average lie? How many of you think that 50% or better would lie? Raise your hand. Keep them up for just a minute. When I get to that magic number, take it down. 60%. You believe 60% would lie to you? 60, 70, 80, 90. Guess what? 96% of people polled in America admitted to lying. By age 4, 90% of children have grasped the concept of lying, and it gets worse from there. How bad is it? According to a 2002 study conducted by the University of Massachusetts, 60% of adults can't have a 10-minute conversation without lying at least one time. But even that number makes it sound better than it really is. Those people in the study who did lie actually told an average of 3 lies during their brief chat. And I know that you're sitting there right now and you're insisting that you'd be a part of the 40% that didn't lie. Guess what? That's exactly what the liars in that study thought too. When they watched the taped conversations back, they were shocked to see how many fibs they had told. We lie to everyone. Our parents get the worst of it, according to The Day America Told the Truth. 86% of us lie to them regularly, followed by friends, 75%, siblings, 73%, spouses, 69%. But in general, we lie about things that we're not really important, little things that we think will make us look better or more likable. In a survey by a British film rental company, they asked these people how many of you had seen the movie The Godfather. 30% of them lied and said they had seen it when they actually had never seen that movie in all their life. There are those today, my friend, that do not want the truth. And friends, some of them will even actually get upset and mad at you. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? I want to give you, in a time we've got, 5 things quickly that we need to have the truth about this morning. Number one, though we need to have and tell it like it is about the truth of Christ that we believe in. He is, my friend, the eternal, sovereign Son of God. He is the Savior of mankind. He is the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. He is the sinless sacrifice for the poor sinners of salvation. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Can I have an amen this morning that you would say, preacher, I believe that to be the truth of God's word. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only hope. He is the only life. Jesus and Jesus alone. Say amen. Amen. Now, if you just said amen, here's what you're saying. That means this. That means that the Mormons are going to hell because they don't believe in Jesus. That means the Jehovah Witnesses are going to hell because they don't believe in Jesus. That means the Catholics are going to hell because they say there is somebody else besides Jesus, and that's Mary, that you got to pray to. That means, beloved, that every Muslim is going to hell because they don't believe in Jesus. Do you hear what I'm saying? We need to have the truth about God's word. There is only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You're going to get persecuted for that. You're going to get talked about for that. You're going to get despised for that. You go out yonder in the workplace and just you open your mouth about Jesus, and you'll see how quickly some people hate the name of Jesus. Whew. There was a time in our country that we could lift our voices and pray to Jesus. They tell you this, oh, listen, you can pray, just don't pray to Jesus. Just pray to the God of whoever. Honey, I got news for you. It's not the gods. It's not Mother Earth. It's not Confucius. It's not Allah. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. We need to tell the truth about that. I mean, listen, we need to have backbone like a saw log, and we need to stand up, and when this other crowd starts propagating the false religion and the false gospel and start talking about being good, taking you to heaven, lift our voice and say, hey, I got news for you, old boy. Jesus and He alone. It's time to tell it like it is when it comes to Jesus and the way of salvation. Second of all, this morning, we need to tell the truth about our conversion that we have experienced. Thank God for the saving grace of God. If you're not ashamed of it, say amen. Amen. If you're saved, you ought to say so. The psalmist said this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I don't know, I'm not going to embarrass you, but I wonder how many of you this week lifted your voice and you told somebody that you were a child of God. I mean, I wonder, we preached a little bit on last Sunday about that horrible pit of hell. I wonder how many folks this week, when you got your groceries at the grocery store, said, honey, let me just give you this gospel tract. Sir, when I pump my gas, can I just give you this gospel tract? Sir, could I ask you, have you ever trusted Christ as your personal Savior? My friend, we need to be bold and dogmatic about our conversion. I'm not ashamed of Jesus this morning. He said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Honey, I got news for you. I'd rather confess Him as my Lord and my Savior. He's my all in all. He's my supplier. He's my helper. He's my strength. He's everything. He's Jesus today. And we need to have the truth about that. And we need to speak up about that. If you're saved, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But if you're not saved, you ought to say so also. If you're lost without Jesus, this is the best place you could be. You need to be under the sound of the gospel. It's here in the church house. It's here among other Christians when we sing the songs of Zion, when we pray the prayers under our Savior, when the Holy Ghost of God begins to work on sinners' hearts. This is where you need to be if you're lost without Jesus. Third of all, we need to have the truth about our church and where we worship. Thank God for an old-fashioned, Bible-believing, fundamental, independent, separated, sin-fighting, Holy Ghost-empowered church. Amen. In this day we're living in, they are getting fewer and fewer as hen's teeth. Honey, I got news for you. I'd rather be an old-time Christian than anything I know. I've come too far down this journey to turn back now. I'm not changing my Bible. I'm not changing my convictions. I'm not changing my preferences. I've got too many miles behind me, and I've got too few ahead of me. But I got news for you. We need to be strengthening the church of the Lord Jesus. This is the place that God has put in your path. This is the place of spiritual refreshment. This is the place that you can get encouraged and uplifted. Support the church with your tithes and your talents and your singing and your offerings and all other good things. Support the church that God has blessed you with. I wasn't here when the foundation of this church was laid. Some of you might have been. I wasn't here when it was remodeled. I was not here when all these pews were taken out and cut down and brought back in. I wasn't here when the floors were redone. I have been here when we've done some remodeling, but I want to say something. Thank God that there's some dedicated folk that saw a need and said, I'm going to be a part of that. Amen. You wouldn't be sitting in an air-conditioned building this morning if it hadn't have been for them. By the way, the air is on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I made sure of that. You say, preacher, I'm cold. Get a blanket. But I'm glad this morning we got two air-conditioned units out in this building. We've got some out here. I don't know how many. We got some. Listen, I'm glad to come into a place that you can have that's warm. I'm glad to come into a place where you can still get an old red back hymn book and still sing them old Stamps back to songs. I'm glad, honey, for an old-fashioned altar. Listen, I've been to some churches, they've ripped the altar out. I mean, son, listen, they have. They've made it more like a Hollywood production on a Sunday morning. Oh, my son. So listen now, let's stand with the old-fashioned way. Thank God for the church that He has raised up for us to worship in. If it honors Christ, stay with it. If it's Bible-believing, listen, I'm going to say this boldly. I don't find many reasons why in the Word of God that a person should leave a church. If there is a sin issue, if there's a doctrinal issue, if there's something like that, then that might be a justifiable reason for somebody to pack up. But my friend, listen, we are living in such a day today. I'll say it and I'll mean it. We've got Burger King religion. Have it your way. We'll walk up, and if it don't meet everything, then we've got a list of stuff. Well, what do you got for the young people? What do you got for this? What do you got for our kids? Do you have this? Do you have that? And if they don't check off 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10, they'll say, we'll see you. We'll go down the road, find some other place. Honey, I got news for you today. I like what old Billy Canoy said years and years ago when he was living. One fella come to Church Street one time and said, Dr. Canoy, what do y'all have here at Church Street? He said, we got three things. We've got praying. And we've got preaching, and we got praising the Lord. And that's what the three things that Church Street was built on. And honey, that was good back yonder, and it's still good today. Our problem today is we want something new and better and different. We're just like a kid with a candy cane. We're satisfied with a candy cane until there's a lollipop that comes by. Honey, let's just stick with what works. Amen. Number four, quickly. We need to have the truth about the country we love. Oh, listen, my friend, God's blessed this nation. I don't know about you, but every time we sing the Star Spangled Banner or God Bless America, I still get a thrill. I thank God that we still have a flag that waves old glory. Thank God we're still in a country where we can meet like this. Hallelujah. We're still in a country where we have freedom. But honey, I got news for you. Unless my people right now in 2015 get on their knees and get on their faces and pray, the country that we have loved for all these many years is eroding away. Article down here on the communion table I shared with the church on Wednesday night. All this hoopla going on up yonder in Baltimore superseded a major event this week in our country. Those of you here Wednesday night, you heard me say this, but I want to ask you, how many of you knew that the Supreme Court met this week, started meeting this week? Would you raise your hand? Okay, only a handful of you. Those of you that raised a hand, I think most of you know why they met, but they met this week, and they are now hearing arguments for the next month, and they will hand down a decision in June. And that decision, my friend, hear me out, is going to affect every preacher, every church, every Christian in this nation. You say, what is that? The Supreme Court is now deciding upon the institution or the definition of marriage. Is marriage just between two people, or is it between a male and a female? And they are undergoing the litigation. It's amazing to me, I heard this week on talk radio, I won't call the guy's name, but the homosexual, lesbian, gay community makes up only about 5% of the population of America. Of that 5%, there's only 2% to 3% that is pushing for gay marriage. Isn't it amazing that 2% to 3% of the population of America can get something all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we, as God-fearing, Bible-believing Christians, can't get prayer back in school? Say amen. Amen. But this article down here, if you want a copy, I'll make you a copy of it, but this is what it says. That by the end of June, they're going to reach a decision. And when that decision is reached, it can have ramifications for every preacher in this country, every church in this country. And I'll just quickly tell you what it is that you would no longer be able to choose who you would marry, whether they be heterosexual or homosexual. In fact, the court is now deciding, and ladies, how would you like this? The court is now deciding, along with this, if polygamous marriage is acceptable. Simply put, your husband could end up with two or three wives or four or five. Somebody said, God help them. Amen. You say, what'd be bad with that? Yeah, four or five mother-in-laws. Say amen right there. Here's the ramifications, my friend. We need God's presence back in our churches. We need God's power back in our churches. And the only way to get that is through prayer. Quickly, let me give you one more, and I guess we're about done. We need the truth about the corruption that we see. Don't close your eyes to evil. As a kid growing up, my dad always watched Walter Cronkite. I didn't know there was any other news except Walter Cronkite and CBS. But I remember in the late 60s, when we turned the news on every night, I saw the race riots. I saw the marches. I was living. I remember the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated. I remember the day that John Kennedy was assassinated. I remember the day that Robert Kennedy was assassinated. Some things are burned in your brain. I remember those days. We think it was bad back then. We look around us today and we see the corruption in this world. Can I tell you something? Jesus said this in Luke 17. Now listen to what he said. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the coming of the Son of Man. And they did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. What was it like in Noah's day? You read Genesis chapter 6, and here's what he says. It was a day filled with violence. Isn't it something today? Oh, listen. I make no bones about it. There's some of you here. We offer the classes here. But I told my wife, I believe God's protection. Amen. I also believe in Smith and Wesson and a few other folks. I don't go anywhere nowadays. I don't go anywhere nowadays. And don't try me on this. I don't go anywhere nowadays unless I have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and Smith and Wesson with me. Amen. The violence has filled our land. You just turn the news. Don't matter what day it is. Just turn it on. Lady last week went out to walk her dogs, 11 o'clock at night in Greensboro, opened the door. These three thugs, yeah, they're thugs, hoodlums, what do you want to call them? I don't know what color they was. Don't matter what color they were. But they rushed her, knocked her down, went into the house and stole her husband's wallet and everything like that. Listen, they'll ride down the road today and shoot you full of holes over $10. We live in a violent world. And my friend, listen. You say, preacher, I'll just agree with you this morning. I'll just get me a big old shotgun. I'll get me a big old rifle. And I'll ride down the road, honey. I got news for you. Don't go looking for trouble. And here's the thing, though. If we're living in a violent society today, it's only going to get worse, he said. And he's talking about the second coming right there. Not talking about the rapture, the second coming. As it was in Noah's day, we can look for the world to get more violent. We can look for those to get atomic and nuclear weapons. We can look for Russia to push their might. We can look for other wars. Hey, guess what happened this past week? You saw that great earthquake over yonder in Nepal. Oh, listen, my friend. Jesus said in the last days, there'll be earthquakes in diverse places. Oh, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. But he also said, lift up your head. Your redemption is drawing nigh. God's getting ready to shut this thing down. And then last, listen, here's one thing I want to tell you. Edmund Burke said many years ago, the only thing necessary for triumph to evil is for good men to do nothing. I appreciate what our brother said this morning. You got a voice. Lift your voice. I mean, don't stick your head in the sand. Don't say, well, it's just going to go away. Don't look at that and say, well, them people down yonder in Asheboro, they ain't going to bother my kids. No, wait a minute. Whoa, back up. Let's unhitch the buggy. Honey, once they start moving in, and I'm not talking about racism, listen, but I'm talking about a different way of life. Do you realize that you and I are an infidel to every Muslim there is? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyhow, here's the last thing, and I'm done. We need to know the truth about the consequences. Consequences are this: time will tell of those that are faithful. Troubles may increase, but there's no reason to turn back. I like to read about war stories. I used to teach U.S. history, love teaching it. I could spend the rest of the day talking about the Battle of Iwo Jima and the Battle of Guadalcanal, Midway, the Coral Sea, the Bataan Death March. I could spend the rest of the day talking about the wars. But when I read about those men, and I saw one yesterday in Lowe's, and he had on there a World War II veteran. Those fellows are just about non-existent today. They're in their late 80s or early 90s. I read about some of those men back yonder outnumbered. But they said, we're going to stand and fight the enemy. When the Japanese started coming over the hill, low on ammunition, everything else, if it meant their death, they were going to stand and fight to the end. They said, we're fighting for that country. We're over yonder in the Philippines. We're over yonder on Guadalcanal. We're over there in a little bitty old volcanic island in the Pacific, and nobody even knows how to pronounce its name. But we're fighting for that which is right, and that which is good, and that which is holy, and that which is justice. And we will stand up. If we're by ourselves, we will fight to the death if need be. Trouble may increase. There's no reason to turn back. Triumph in this life and others will be worth it. And then last, remember this. A trumpet is going to sound at any moment. I believe that with all my heart. I believe I'm going to be living when Jesus comes. Hey! I believe I'm going to cheat death. I don't believe I'll go by the way of the grave. I believe I'll go by the way of the upper taker. Amen.